Mishnah Beis. V'sholosh imos, and three mothers, ba'olam, in the world. Ruach u'mayim v'esh, breath and water and fire. U'mehem noil du ovois, and from them the fathers are born. Shemehem nivra hakol. So there are three mother letters, Aleph, Mem, Shin, in the world. And as we're going to see throughout this perek, throughout this chapter, Olam, Shona, and Nefesh is the theme here, that everything appears in the macrocosm, in the universe, in space, and everything is mirrored, everything from the macrocosm, from space, is mirrored in time, in Shona, and everything from time and space is mirrored in the microcosm, in the nefesh, in the soul of a person. And these three letters, the Aleph and Mem Shin, actually appear in the body, as we are going to be discussing, that Aleph represents Ruach, the air, and, you know, there's the cardiovascular system, which is, you know, from the diaphragm upwards, the heart, the lungs. And then in the head we have the source of all changes, which is represented by Shin, which is fire, the agent of change. And then in the abdomen and lower we have Mayim, the letter Mem, which is represented by water and desire, which is where we experience our desires. So last week the Mishnah said that these three letters are sealed with six rings, which we talked about, the Sefirot of Chochmah and Bina, having between them a line, which is the line of Shin, Chesed and Gevurah having between them a line, which is the line of Aleph, and Netzach and Hod having a line between them, which is the line of Mem. From these three mothers come three fathers. And we talked about the difference between mothers and fathers, in that mothers represents hidden things, whereas fathers represents actions and revealed things. So now we'll learn the psicha, the preface to Mishnah Beis. Ad kam b'sifreinu, up to this place in our Mishnah, in our Sefer, Leiniski inim briyev uboira, we haven't encountered the word creation. The only word, formative word, that we've used is Yitzira. And in Mishnah, in Perek Aleph, we talked about putting the Yotzer, the one who does the formation, on his throne. V'oyser. And it also talks about making. V'asir. The maker and the act of making. But not Bria. It hasn't referred to the act of creation, only the act of making and the act of forming. The Yidua, and it's well known, Shetoya Briyo, that when we talk about the label, put something, the label as having been created, Einenu Yoyes Ele Ledova Shenivra Min Ho'ayin. It's only applicable to something that has come out of nothing. Yesh Me'ayin. Something from nothing. In the philosophical Latin, it's Creatio Ex Nihilo. Ukumuvan, so if in our Mishnah we encounter the word for the first time, Bria, Shiva Mishnah Senu Aganul Perik Chodosh and Masogim Chadosh, and we've reached a new chapter and new concepts. V'ulay Avshaloyma, it's possible, Shad Kam the Sefer, this far in the book, Koy Medub Al Inyonim Masogim Atzilim, we were talking about archetypal concepts and ideas. U'me'achshav, and from now on, and we're going to be talking for the first time about physical things. And in those physical things, of course, we also include space and time and the soul. Whereas in the previous chapters, we've been talking about letters and sefirot, which aren't real things. And now we're going to be talking about the kind of water, air, and fire that are visible to the eye, dvorim anirim la'ayin, shiyotzim egedo ha'ayin. So we're no longer talking about the no-thing, the nothing, and we're talking about that which manifests in the physical world. Echad hachilukim bein shnei ha'ilamos, and one of the differences between these two worlds, hu inyan imos v'avos, is the concept of mothers and fathers. Shebhoifas musa kabriya, that when we have the manifestation of this concept of creation from nothing, moifia gam musak avos, we also encounter the concept of fathers. Vohoifas habriya, and the manifestation of creation, with a capital C, tolo b'shloisha, depends on three things, dahainu b'oilam v'nefesh v'shona, in the universe, the soul, and the year. Because when we talk about God and all the created things that God made, everything is one and unified, and it's all happening now and it's all happening here. The concept of space and time isn't there. And on the world in which we live, there's always another place. Zmanim tuva, there are many times. Unufushos rabois, in different souls. There isn't that unity. So long as things hadn't happened in the real world, what we call the real, the world of action, everything was in the future. All the reality, the dollars and cents, the atoms and molecules existed in the future, and the future is the domain of the feminine, that which is to be born. And so they were called mothers. But now that things have gone out into the real world of action, so now they exist in a world that has the concept of the past and that which was. Zechira, which is the world of memory, and the word for memory is zechira, or zachar, or masculine. So now we've encountered the fathers. Paragraph 2. Hamishna hazu hi hayichidi hamaschila bois vov. This mishnah is the sole mishnah in the Sefer Yetzirah that begins with the vov. Ubo aloima, it's coming to tell us, shehi hamshochas hamishnah hakidum. So obviously, if there's an and, the word and at the beginning of a mishnah, it's telling us that this is and that. It's a connect. The vav is a connect. Umashamanu ala briya shehi b'chinas yesh v'ayin. And so, if we're saying that briya, creation, always means something from nothing, but we're appending that to the previous Mishnah, then it's as a kind of a condition. And we're saying, lav dafka, when we talk about something from nothing, we don't mean precisely what we say, because there was something there before. And that which was there before is what we've been learning about in the previous two chapters, which is the concept of things. So things come out from the concept of things. We talk about the four worlds of creation. There's the world of Atzilut, the world of archetypes, where God, so to speak, conceptualizes that which is going to exist outside of him. And so the word Atzilut comes from the Hebrew word Eitzel, which means next to. So there's a world of that which is going to be next to God. So God has made a space in which things can be. And it is out of that we get the world of Bria, which is the next world. So, in fact, when we talk about creation, that it comes from nothing, we qualify that. And so this Mishnah begins with a Vav. Umashikodem lebriya, what comes before creation, hu oilam atzilus, v'sham b'chinas ola b'machashova, and it's in the world of atzilus, the world of archetypes, that we say that something arose in the thought. And, you know, where do we encounter this idea that something arose in the thought? That is the life and death of Rabbi Akiva, to which we keep on returning in this chapter. Moshe encounters God tying the crowns on the letters, and he says, God, who's making you do this? And God responds, after many generations, after you've passed Moshe, there's going to be a man, his name is Akiva ben Yosef, and he's going to make drush. exegesis on the Torah, and he's going to be learning all this halakha from the Torah, and he's going to need like hooks on which to connect his teaching, his drash. So I'm putting these hooks on the letters for him to do his drash. So Moshe asks, you know, can I see him? And he's given the opportunity to sit in one of Rabbi Akiva's classes, and he doesn't really know what's going on. And eventually, one of the students challenges Rabbi Akiva, and Rabbi Akiva responds, what do you mean, where is going? He says, Halacha l'Moshe miSinai. This comes directly from Sinai, from Moshe. So Moshe feels better, and then he asks to be shown the death of Rabbi Akiva, and he sees the horrible martyrdom, and he says, is this the Torah, this the reward? And God says, Kach ola b'machashova, this is how it arose in the thought. And even, you know, when Moshe says, well, if you have such a man, why are you giving the Torah through me, you know? Why don't you give him the Torah to give to the Jewish people? God says, be quiet, kach ola b'machashova, this is how it arose in the thought. In the idea that God has a thought that arises as a kind of reverie, it's a very difficult concept. But when we encounter that, we find Rabbi Akiva. Whenever we find the thought of God, we find Rabbi Akiva. So, here's a long portion, the third paragraph, V'hine. Lahovin soit ha'esh v'hamayim. In order to understand how fire and water nisharu b'mekoyman, in the first chapter, in the second chapter, we visualized the three letters Aleph Mem Shin connected with fire, air and water. We saw the Aleph in the middle as a fulcrum, as the pivot. And we saw Mem on the right, representing water, and Shin on the left representing fire. And the Aleph was in the middle, and we saw them as the pan of merit and the pan of Kaf Zuchus and Kaf Choyva, debt and credit. And the Aleph is in the middle like the scales, like the Maznaim, where you have a tongue in the middle. And the way the tongue points, you know, that says whether this pan is going to weigh more or the other pan. And that's how it was throughout the entire second chapter. Here, as we discussed right in the very first class in chapter 3, there's been a shift. And now, Aleph is still in the middle, but Shin is now on top and Mem is underneath. In order to do that, there was a series of twists, each of them to the right. And that twist to the right has preserved the motto klape chesed, the idea that everything in the universe ultimately points towards chesed rather than gevura, or constriction and judgment. But nevertheless, we still have three columns of sefirot. We have chochma and chesed and netzach on the right, we have bina gevura and hoid on the left, and in the center column we have keter, tiferet, yisod and malchut. The right side of the tree is represented by water and chesed. The left side of the tree is fire and gevura, and air is going to be the middle column. So, although the letters mem and shin have changed places from the horizontal to the vertical, the elements of water on the right, air in the middle, and fire on the left, they've remained. To understand how they do that and why they do that, afilu acher she'oisis aleph v'shin nisgalgulu memekoyman, even after the letters have revolved from their place, v'nikvu lemala lemata, and have been fixed above and below, as we explained, she'akav yaminim mechochma ad netzach b'chinas chesed mayim d'chasodim, the right hand column is chesed, the left hand column from bina and downwards is the fire of gevura. I'll explain it like this. The beer begins Rochel and Leah. Let's understand Rochel and Leah. She is Shaychus leMishnah. Say no, that they're connected to our Mishnah. In the Issa B'Medrash, we learn in the Medrash, Ve'enei Leah Rachos, Leah's eyes were soft, were tender. Umahu rachois, the Medrash says, what does it mean they were tender? Rachois mebchia, they were tender from crying. Shehoyu oimrim, kachoyu atnoim. People used to say, these are the conditions, this is the time. Hagdoyle legodol, the older sister is going to be married to the older brother. Haktana lekoton, and the younger sister to the younger brother. So Leah understood what everybody said, that Lavan had two daughters. Lavan's sister Rivka, who had married Yitzchak, has two sons. The two daughters will be marrying the two sons. So Leah used to cry. Yihirotzain, may it be your will, God, shleapoil begoido shel rosha, that I not fall into the lot of the wicked. Omer Rebbe Huna. So Rebbe Huna says, kosher hi hatfila. See how hard, how powerful, how strong a prayer is. Shabbatla es hagzera, that it nullified the decree for her to marry Esau. V'loi oid. Not only did it nullify the decree, ele shekodma lo achoisa, that she actually ended up marrying Yaakov before Leah, before Rachel did. So not only did Leah's praying succeed in overthrowing the decree for her to marry Esau, but it was so powerful that Rachel was pushed aside and Leah married Yaakov first. In the footnotes here, footnote number 17, the Vikosh. Leah had the strength, the power, the wherewithal to change Esau. Had she been married to Esau, he would have ended up putting on tefillin and you know, eating gefilte fish on Friday night, for sure, for sure. Because Leah was a very powerful woman. And, you know, the Gemara says that a wife has the ability to force certain changes in the way a house is run. And everybody knew that Esav had the zechus, he had the merit of a very difficult mitzvah. In fact, the chachamim, the sages, consider it the most difficult mitzvah of all, which is honoring your father and mother. Kibud av aim. Where did Leah take the precedent to make this judgment? Perhaps Esav might honor her the way he honors his father. What made her so sure that her job is to undo the Tanaim that she should marry him? That Leah is coming from that place of chesed, true chesed. Amachayev l'kol chosid l'ishasid im HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We said right in the very first Mishnah, the first Perek, Abraham is called a chosid. He is the father of chesed. He's the paradigm of loving kindness. But the true chosid is not somebody who does kindness, but rather somebody who does kindness with God. Ezehu chosid hamit chesed im kono. Somebody who is the lover of God. And so, when somebody who is the paradigm of chesed does a chesed, does a kindness, it's not out of compassion for the person he's doing the chesed with, but rather out of compassion with God. So the true chesed at the level of Abraham, when he sees a poor man in need, then Abraham is connected to God at that moment. And as God's representative, he takes care of the poor man's needs. And in fact, it might even go as far to say that when Abraham sees somebody in need, he sees God in need. And so there's a vision, a realization, a seeing beyond the flesh and blood need to the divine need. So the true chesed is somebody who's doing chesed with God. Leah is the next person who is at that level of chesed. Leah was not thinking about herself when she was praying, please God, don't let me fall into the lot of the wicked. It was never about herself. She was only ever thinking about God. kivnus. You're always thinking, how can I do a kindness with God? The ruach halikim erachefes al pnei hamayim. If we go back to the very beginning of Genesis, it says, Bereshit bara lekim et hashamayim v'et haaretz. In the beginning, God created heaven and earth. V'haaretz haita tohu v'avohu. And the earth was chaos and void. V'choshech al pnei tohim. And there was darkness on the face of the abyss. V'ruach lekim erachefes al pnei hamayim. And the Spirit of God is hovering over the depth, over the water. And the Medrash says, V'haaretz haita tohu v'avohu. V'choshech al pnei tohim. Tohu represents Persia, Voihu represents Media, Choshech represents Greece, Tohoim represents Rome. That these elements that are there before creation of the world, these are the elements of chaos in which we, the Jewish people, are going to have to struggle in our exiles. Right. So first we get dragged here and then there, and then we have to meet the intellectual and spiritual challenge of the Greek exile, the Greek galut, which was called Choshech, right? And then we have the Nes Chanukah, and then we have Tohoim, the abyss, which is something that seems to have no bottom, and that's the current exile, which has been going on for thousands of years. And then it says, V'ruach Elokim, and the Spirit of God, merachefes al pnei hamayim, hovers over the water, and the Medrash says, what's that Spirit of God? The Spirit of Mashiach. The Spirit of Mashiach is hovering over the water. Why? Because if something goes wrong, it drowns. Right? Who is the mother of Mashiach? The mother of Mashiach is Leah. She's the mother of Yehuda, from whom comes the family and the house of King David and the Mashiach. So already before creation of the world, we have the decrees of the various exiles through which mankind, represented by the Jewish people, is going to have to flow and is going to have to overcome and meet the challenges. And at the end of it, we have the Ruach HaMashiach, which hovers over the water and is in danger. What's the danger? The danger is that Leah will marry Esav. If Leah marries Esav, then Mashiach is not going to be Yehuda, is not going to be born. D'ilav t'filo Esav, if not for Leah's prayers, then she would have fallen into Esav's lot. And then the spirit of the Mashiach mat tehev Allah. So let's come back to our main text. V'isa. This is at the bottom of page 16. Omer Rabbi Yehuda, page 17. Omer Rabbi Yehuda Omer Rav. Arboim yoim koidim yitzir savlad, 40 days before the conception of a child. Baskon Yoitzis, a voice goes out by Maris and says, Bas Ploini Leploini, the daughter of this couple is going to marry the son of this couple. So 40 days before Leah was conceived, a voice went out in heaven saying, the daughter of Rivka and Yitzchak is going to marry the son of Lavan. Upirish, I'm sorry, the daughter of Lavan is going to marry the son of Yitzchak and Rivka. Upirish, so Noidelah Leah. Leah becomes informed Shenafla Lo LeEsav HaRosh LeZivug, that she has fallen in as the Zivug of Esav the wicked. Sheshayeches LeMisheshes Yimei Breishis, she realizes that she is his intended from the 6 days of creation. Elo Novos. Shahatfilois Vahadimois, the prayers and the entreaties, Shishavcha Leah, that Leah shared so much that the Torah tells us the most salient feature on her face were her eyes, which were tender from crying. Shalaitipile Gairoloi Shal Oisa Rosho, that she shouldn't fall into the lot of that wicked man. Koru Roya Hagzera. They tore up this horrible decree, Meikora, in retrospect. This is an amazing idea, right? Something has happened, a decree has gone out from heaven, a voice came out from heaven 40 days before Leah was conceived saying she's going to marry Esav, and she comes along, she prays and cries, and that original decree gets torn up, the Yotzer Baskol, and so the original voice that went out from heaven, Shehi Tipoy Begerula Shel Yaakov, that she is going to marry Yaakov. Not that the end was changed, but that the beginning was changed. V'zeh Soida Tshuva. And this is the mystery of repentance, Shebezechusa, that in the merit of Leah, Mahapchin Zedoinis Lezochius, we can actually change those sins that were done, purposeful wickednesses, they can be changed to Zechuyus merits. Sheshayach Ach V'rak Etzel B'nei Hashem Leah, that this idea of doing Teshuva, and that Teshuva doesn't just stay the decree, but that Teshuva actually changes the nature of the act. The Torah tells us, the Gemara tells us, that somebody who does Teshuva with love of God, then those sins actually become mitzvahs. And so instead of the person being punished for having done what he did, it's not so much that those wicked deeds are ignored. But if a person does real teshuva, then those wicked deeds become mitzvahs, and they become zechuyot, merits. And then the Ribbono Shel Olam says, thank you for doing that thing. This idea that we can do teshuva today and change the past, this is brought down into the world by Leah, who with her tefillos, she changes the decree that was there from before she was born, that goes back to the very 6 days of creation. V'Leah, he b'chinas ima lo'o, b'chinas bina, and Leah in the Kabbalah represents the supernal mother, the bina, makor ha'tshuva, which is also the source of teshuva. B'chinas livoy ulevovo yovin v'shav, there's a pasuk in Yeshayah that says, his heart has bina, and he repents. So the idea of bina, the heart, and repentance, these are all tied together with the Sefira of Bina, represented by Leah in classic Kabbalah. She'al yidei tefiloseha, through her prayers, ne'epcha ha'ova, she changed the past. V'hu pele. And this is a very amazing concept. Ki l'shano yisma shehoye kva, to change what has already been. Le'hapoy ha'ova, to make the past other than it was. Le'hachlif gezar din, and not to undo the gezar din, the decree of judgment, but to actually make that decree have never have been. Al zivug shenigzer koizim yitzirosa, to change the decree of a zivug that happened before she was even conceived. And it wasn't a secret that which you could say, well, nobody knew about it, but everybody knew about it. Like the Gemara says in Bava Basra, Shehoisa Shemas, Aproshas Drochem, that when Leah walked on the roads and she was walking through the crossroads. Aproshas Drochem is a crossroads. So people would look at her and she'd hear them whispering behind her back. Shaimim Shnei Bonim Yesh LeRivka. Rivka has two sons. Shnei Bonim Yesh LeLavan. Lavan has two daughters. Gedoyle LeGodel, Ketana LeKotel. The older one for the older one, the younger for the younger. V'hoisi Yosheves al Proshes Drochem. And so Leah would sit down there at the crossroads, U'mesha'eles, and she would ask people, Godoil, this older one you keep whispering about behind my back, why are you whispering? What does he do, right? And of course they, even in Mesopotamia, they'd heard about Esau. And then, so she was praying. This is something that is so difficult to understand that even in an unnatural, supernatural way, I would say that that's impossible. If everybody knows the divine decree that which happened before she was born, all right. If you tell me that she can stay the decree, right, and get it commuted, okay, fair enough. She prayed, she had it commuted. But what we are saying is that it wasn't commuted, it never happened. That in fact, 40 days before she was born, some entirely different announcement went out that Leah, daughter of Lavan, is going to be married to the younger son of Rivka and Yitzhak. The koyach ze shehim tziod Leah, this koyach, this power that she herself, in a sense, created. she brought into being, Lasis Shinibu Basko Mikora, to change the divine voice, to change the announcement, Nerapo is Masha'oba, to heal the past, Shetehei Refua Koidim Lemakim Mamish, that the healing was so powerful that the healing came before the wound. Zem Yesoidus Dosenu, this has become one of the fundamental beliefs of our religion, Vemunaseno, and our faith. Bechinas Me'achoyre Refoel, we talk about the angels that walk with us, and behind me walks Raphael. Well, what does Raphael mean? It means the angel of healing, Shehu HaMalach HaMamuna Ala Refua, he's the angel who is appointed in charge of healing. V'holech Achrei HaOdam, goes behind the person, L'Rapo Yisma Shezokuk L'Refua, to heal that which needs healing, V'Masha'ova Olav, in the past. So the angel of healing is empowered by our mother Leah to go back and heal our past. Now, we talk about Rachel. The Torah tells us our first meeting with Rachel, V'hinei Rachel Bo'o, Rachel, behold, Rachel is coming. And that is how Rachel is. Ki b'koyach ha'chesed she'ose Rachel l'machoisa, in the power of the love and kindness that Rachel did with her sister, Ked Isa b'medesh Rabbah, we learn in the Medesh. D'chsev, it's written, V'yagid Yaakov l'Rachel, Jacob told Rachel, Ki achi avihu, that he's her uncle, that he's a brother of her father. V'chi ben Rivka hu, but he was a son of Rivka. He was her cousin, not her uncle. So why did he say that he's a brother of her father? Elo amalo. So the Medrash says, from this little reading of the text had no reason to tell us that Jacob lied to Rachel and told her that he's her uncle. Why did he say that? He's her father's brother. So the Medrash puts together this dialogue. Amalo, Jacob said to Rachel, Min sabatli, marry me. There where they met by the well, he immediately said to her, marry me. Omrelei, she said, in. Yes, I'll marry you. Miha abba rama'ahu. Father's a cheat. Velo yachlisle, you won't be able to meet him. He's very sneaky. Omrelei, Jacob said to Rachel, ma remuse, how could he possibly cheat me? Omrelei, she said, Jacob, isli achse tiksisa minai. I have an older sister, and he's not going to allow me to get married before he gets rid of my sister. So, one way or another, you're going to end up marrying my sister. Omala, achov ani b'ramois. He said, I'm your father's brother when it comes to cheating. So, if we're talking sneaky, he's met his match. And that's why Yaakov introduces himself to Rachel as her brother's father. I'm hip, he says. So the Gemara asks, "Umishori lo le tzaddike le sagoi b'rumusa?" Is it appropriate for tzaddikim to be that sneaky, to be so learned in cheating that Yaakov is so confident that doesn't matter how much of a confidence trickster Lavan is, that he's hipper? In the Gemara says, "Yes, im nova to tabor, if somebody's straight with you, be straight with them. V'im ekesh, and if they're twisted, to tapo, you be double twisted." Quoting a verse in Proverbs. So what did he do? Masala simonim, he gave her simonim, he gave her signs, whereby she could identify him and he could identify her. And so they would avoid any kind of tricking. Kikumai lila lelea, so when it came the day of the wedding, 7 years later, and Rachel sees that they're preparing Leah for the wedding. Savra, she thought, Hashta michsefe achtoi. Now my sister is going to be disgraced. She's going to be shamed in public. Misatin hu ni Allah, so Rachel gave the simanin that Jacob had given her, she gave to her sister. Hainu d'chsev, and this is explains the verse, Vayhi baboker, and it was in the morning, v'hinehi Leah. And behold, it's Leah. Torah tells us that Yaakov didn't discover Leah until the morning, and the lights came on, and then he saw that he was married to Leah. How come? Because Rachel had given this siman. Miklal, if he tells us that in the morning he knew it's Leah, da'at hashto, we can extrapolate that up until that point, lav Leah he wasn't Leah. What do you mean? Elamitoich simanim shemusel Yaakov de Rachel, but it must have meant that Rachel gave the simanim, the signs that he had given her, she gave to her sister, Masrusel Leah. So he didn't know who she was until the morning when he could see her. And here there's note 18. The kosher. Haligam v'rochel das Yaakov. How could Rachel have done such a bad turn to Jacob? I mean, he loved her, she loved him. When push comes to shove, I mean, how could she have betrayed him that way? Umein don adin, where did she take the precedent in law? Lahati atz melasas came to permit herself to do this. Elavadai, what must we say? Mebechinas esh de gevuris, that if Rachel represents the water, then if Leah represented the water, and the Mashiach hovering over the water, then Rachel at this point represents fire and the ability to disobey all the instructions. And the nature of fire, as we talked about in the first chapter when we were discussing Chava and her innate compulsion to disobey the rules and to eat from the tree of knowledge, even though she'd been commanded not to, because her ultimate, her prime directive is to ignore the directives. Because sometimes the sin that's done for the right reason is greater than the mitzvah that isn't done for the right reason. So let's come back to our main text here. Shemati mimoiri, Reb Shloime. I heard from my Rebbe, Reb Shloime Kalibach. Shebezuchus mesiris nafshe b'adachoyso, that in the merit of Rachel's self-sacrifice for her sister, shelitis ba'ish Leah, that Leah shouldn't be shamed in public, v'loitaliv, and be disgraced, adidei mesiris ha-simonim, by withholding the simonim from Leah. And even though Rachel could have rationalized withholding the simanim with the following rationale. She saf, habusha liya kol kachkaru. In the end, you know, we all go through difficult things in life, and we all have very embarrassing moments that we wish the ground would open up underneath us and swallow us. You know, I mean, it's part of life. Who can go through life without shaming moments, right? And after all, which of us has been so mortified that we have died of shame? Now, very, very few people, when we talk about mortification, which is the feeling of dying of shame, right? I mean, that's a great word, mortification. But who actually dies of shame? So Rachel could have said that to herself. And surely she could have, following that logic, she could have said, yes, it's going to be shaming, but you know, she'll get over it. We all get over it. We have to deal with it. It's life. You know, we move on. She didn't say that. Rachel didn't think that for one moment. When she saw that her sister was going to be shamed, she immediately did everything in her power to prevent it. Mosra nafsho. She didn't just give away her marriage. She gave away her everything, her soul, her life. V'sikno nishmosa bein bo'ilam azeh bein lo'ilam abo. What did she think was going to happen? What was going to be her future, Rachel, if Leah is going to be married to Yaakov? Pen bo'ulai hi tipo ligarola shel Esav v'rosh. She had to have imagined that her father would say, yeah, you marry Issa. And then, you know, here she meets Yaakov and has this dream of starting a family with him. She was a prophet. She could see the future and the end of times. I mean, she could see Yaakov and Rachel and the children that would be born in the family of Israel. She could see all that, and now she throws that away without another thought that maybe. No. She gives the simanim to her sister Leah. Ubizachus zois, says Shloimeh, in the merit of this, Himtzia Osit Chodesh, Rachel brought into the world a new future. She had Yaakov Shtei Noshim. Now, Jacob is destined to have two wives, the Shnei Zivugim, two perfect Zivugs, Dovish Lehoi Ma'olam, something that had never been, never existed, and never been destined. It was not, there was no hint of it in destiny. When Yaakov was born and you'd looked into his astrological whatever, you would not have seen two wives. Something that had no precedent, had never been written in the past. And now, all of a sudden, there's a new future. She'al yidei koyach ha-chesed, that through the power of Rachel's love and kindness, nitan ba-koyach, she now has the power, la-hapoich ha-sa-osid, to change the future, ha-osid lovoi la-rapoich ha-sa-osid, to heal it. She can heal the future before it gets sick. And this ability to change the future, this is something that belongs to Rachel and her children, just as the ability to change the past belongs to Leah and her children, Reuven, who does teshuva, and Yehuda, whose son, whose eniklach, David HaMelech and Mashiach, bring teshuva to the whole world. We have Rachel, who she and her children, Yosef and Binyamin, they have the ability to change the future. This is the meaning of the verse in Numbers, Vayomru ha'anoshim ho'hema, and those people said to Moshe, Elav, anachnu tmeim le'nefesh odam, we are tamei to a person, lama nigora levilti hikriv es karben Hashem. So at the beginning of the book of Numbers, we talk about the setting up of the dedication of the Mishkan, the tabernacle, and that happened right at the beginning of the second year of our sojourn in the wilderness. It all major drama was on Rosh Chodesh Nisan of that year. The first year we came out at Pesach, Shavuot we received the Torah, and then 40 days later we worshiped the golden calf, and then over the next period of 40 days, another 40 days, was Yom Kippur. Moshe came down with the second set of tablets, and he said, Hevra, let's build a Mishkan. God says, build me a Mishkan, v'shechanti b'seicham, I want to dwell among you. And so we spent the winter building this tabernacle, which was dedicated on Rosh Chodesh Nisan, and 2 weeks later, it was time to do the Pesach sacrifice. And there were some men who were tamei. They were tamimes, they had come in touch with a dead body, and they were, in fact, they were the Chevra Kedisha, they were the burial society, and they, and somebody who carries a dead body or bones or coffin, cannot bring the paschal sacrifice, can't bring any sacrifice, because they need to go through the process of purification that takes another 7 days in the sprinkling of the ashes of the red heifer and so on. So these people came to Moshe, and they said, "Vayomer Anoshim Ahema." They said to Moshe, "Anachnu Tmeim, we are Tamei, the Nefesh Adam, to the soul of a human. Lama Nigara, why should we be reduced? The Vilti Hikrivis Hakarben Hashem, not to bring the sacrifice, the Paschal Lamb." Shebevaday Omer Lahem Moshe, it goes without saying. We don't. The text doesn't have to tell us that Moshe said to them, Lo yashemim atim altumis, you're not to blame. It's not that you're being blamed for being tamei. You're the Chevra Kedisha. Obviously you're going to come in touch with dead bodies. You're exempt. It's not you are It's not that you can't, it's just you're exempt because of your status of Tuma from bringing the carbon. Chaval, I'm sorry, Moshe says, Shalei takrivu carbon bezov, that you can't offer it. I was sof, but in the end, loikoch kolkach garu, it's not the end of the world. Loitamusum in Abusha, you're not going to die of shame because you can't bring the carbon Pesach this year. Surely next year you're going to be able to bring the carbon Pesach. Calm down, he said. It's not the end of the world, right? We can imagine that dialogue, right? But they didn't listen. And they refused to listen and to accept Moshe's response and his shavaf. Va'amru, they said to him, Betuchim anachnu, we are convinced, we're sure, 100%, Shigam yashiv sheiris lahatzinis ha-pesach shalonu, we can save that, we know, Moshe, we don't care what you say, but we know that it's possible to save this year's Pesach. Va'yom aleim Moshe, so what does the text tell us? The Torah tells us Moshe said to them, if you're so sure, okay, Imdu, stand here, Ve'eshma ma Yisav Hashem, I'll go and ask God and find out what God says. In fact, what happened? God says, yeah, sure, you can bring Pesach Sheni on the 14th of the month of Iyar. Just get ready and bring another Pesach if you couldn't make it the first time. V'koshen. So the question is, Meheichan yadu anoshim ohem, how did those people know sheyesh lem tikva krovas ha-pesach, that they have a hope of bringing carbon Pesach? What made them know something that Moshe didn't know? Elo, kidi'isa b'medrash. The answer is that we learn in the Medrash, v'hiyu anoshim ha-shehoyu tmeim le-nefesh odam. The Torah tells us that there were people who were tamei because they were members of the Chevra Kedisha, and they were tamei, they tell us, lenefesh Adam, to the soul of a man. Ve'ein Adam ele Yosef. You know who's a Adam, you know who's a man? Joseph is a man. Shehoyu noisim atzmes Yosef, they were carrying the bones of Yosef. Shehu mibnei Rochel. Yosef is a son of Rachel. Shahirida la'olam trufa gama la'osid liyaz, who brought down to the world the ability to change the future. You can heal the future. V'chol ha'tikva sheyesh lanu tefisa ba, and if we still have hope, and if we still have faith, and we still believe in a future for ourselves and our children, and for this benighted world on which we live. Sheyesh musag, Achris Toiv L'chol B'nei Yisrael, if there is still such a concept that we can hold on to, that there is going to be a good denouement to the story through which we live, Gamzu M'rochel Bo, that comes only from Rachel. V'don Odin L'Kodesh Baruch Hu B'Kal V'Choyme Ben B'noi Shel Kal V'Choyme K'di'isa B'Eicho Rabosi. And Rachel is the one who can argue a fortiori with God, as we're going to learn, that if she can do a chesed with her sister, then God for sure can do a chesed with us, as we learn in the Medrash of Eicho Rabosi. U'biglal zeh yesh lanu mitzvos Pesach Sheni, and because of those men who were the Chevra Kedisha and they were carrying the bones of Yosef, they knew intuitively that Moshe was wrong, and that there's another future for them. And in fact, they bring down the mitzvah of Pesach Sheni, Mashein Kedigmosa B'Tarek Mitzvah. There is nothing like it in the 613 mitzvahs. If you are unable to fast on Yom Kippur, you can't come to the rabbi and say, well, you know, can I do it next week? You know, you didn't hear the shofar in Rosh Hashanah, you can blow for 350 days of the year. It's not the shofar in Rosh Hashanah. You can't do Chanukah and Pesach time. And there's no such thing in Judaism that if you missed a mitzvah, you can make it up. There's no such thing. And yet, there's a Pesach Sheni. If you missed Pesach, sure, no prop. Just come to Rosh Hashanah, you make it next month. How does this happen? How did this unbelievable anomaly occur? And the answer is, because the Chevre Kedisha who were carrying the bones of Yosef were imbued with a belief you can change the future. And where did it come from? It comes from Rochel, who has the power to change the future. B'shayach b'chinas Yisoid Tzadik b'chinas Yosef Likan, and in this Mishnah, which begins with the Vav, which is the letter of Yisod, the letter of the connection, which is all connections, as we learned right at the very beginning in the third Mishnah of the first Perek, that there is a Bris HaLashon, Bris HaMaor, that there is a covenant in the flesh between the ten toes, and there's a covenant in the tongue between the ten fingers, and they both have the word Mila. And this covenant is always connected with Yosef, and is always associated with the connection between two people, which could be a sexual connection, or it could be the connection of dialogue, when people talk to one another and use words. And so there's a covenant on the tongue, and there's a covenant on the Bris Mila. And so wherever we find Yosef and connection and Yisoid, of course we find Rabbi Akiva again. And so here we are. And maybe we have time to learn the No, we'll come back another time and do it. All right. We'll stop here, Chevre.